Накра!
Tomorrow, Russians will celebrate Victory Day when Nazi Germany surrendered in 1945. Most years, large military parades march through Russia's biggest cities, a chance for President Vladimir Putin to show off Russia's might and glory. This year, though, you guessed it, no parades because of the coronavirus. The outbreak in Russia has not peaked yet. They're seeing around 10,000 new cases each day. Fiona Hill served as the Senior Director for European and Russian Affairs on the National Security Council, and she's been following these recent developments in Russia. Fiona Hill, how would you assess Russia's response to the coronavirus pandemic so far?
Well, Russia's response has been surprisingly similar to the responses that we've seen in many other countries. Not especially well organized, a great deal of tension between the central government and regional governments, the same lack of personal protective equipment for healthcare workers, and a lack of information about the actual data on the spread of the virus and the numbers. So we've actually found that the Russians have been just as flat-footed as many of their neighbours in Europe, and, you know, strikingly similar to some of the things that have happened here in the United States as well.
Vladimir Putin seems to be absent through a lot of this. How is Russian leadership functioning right now?
Well, this is actually a real challenge for Putin, because he just announced in January of this year that he was intending to expand out his current presidential terms that could take him out to being Russian president to 2036, when he would be in his 80s. And as a result of making that decision, he's turned himself into the wild card in the political system, because it was an acknowledgement that there's no other potential successor to Vladimir Putin in the offing. So the idea that he might get sick, I mean, this is a deeply destabilizing idea. So I think that President Putin has been lying low just to make sure that he's not infected.
With the sharp decline in the global economy that we're all seeing now, and oil prices in particular, how much is this shaking Russia's economic stability? I mean, is it at a point where you can envision political upheaval?
Not quite yet. The one thing to bear in mind for Russia is that they're in a much better financial situation than pretty much every other country. Because since Putin came into power in 2000, over the last 20 years, the Russian government has been extraordinarily careful with macroeconomic stabilization and also maintaining the sanctity of these funds. And they were hoping that under a normal circumstance, they would have sufficient reserves to tide Russia over any massive economic downturn, but thinking that this wouldn't go on for a prolonged period of time. And this was another miscalculation that Putin made when he decided to take on the Saudis of oil production cuts. He actually thought that he had much more leverage than it turned out that he did, because he was banking on the idea that you know, there was more demand for oil. And clearly, the pandemic has reduced that demand for oil. So this is a real problem.
Fiona Hill, you're no longer in the Trump White House, but when you first started working in the administration, the stated goal was to improve relations with Russia. So where do the U.S. and Russia stand today, and how is the current reality affecting those relations?
Well, clearly, there's been an awful lot of tensions within our own domestic politics in the U.S., which made it quite difficult to stabilize the relationship with Russia. And that's for very good reason, obviously, given what Russia did in terms of its attempts to influence the 2016 elections and all the fallout that we've had from that. There's also been quite a few problems with Russia on the international stage. We've had all kinds of things in Syria, you know, not least their use of mercenary forces that got into clashes with the US military, tensions over Ukraine. At every point when there's been an effort to try to move the relationship forward, something has happened. I still think that there's an opportunity to do something on arms control. So there are a set of issues that we can talk about with Russia. But right now we're in, of course, our campaign cycle. So it's unlikely that for the US part, we'd be able to do too much.
Fiona Hill, many Americans became aware of your work, of course, as a result of your testimony during the Trump impeachment hearings. Among other things, you reminded Congress and the American public that Russia was in 2016 and today still is trying to meddle in the U.S. democratic process. At the time, here's what you said.
We need to seek ways of stabilizing our relationship with Moscow, even as we counter their efforts to harm us. Right now, Russia's security services and their proxies have geared up to repeat their interference in the 2020 election. We are running out of time to stop them.
So how vulnerable is the U.S. today as we approach the 2020 presidential elections?
Every society, the United States, is vulnerable because of our use of social media and just the way that that helps to shape public opinion. The problem that we face is, you know, what all of us refer to as the hacking of the mind to influence opinion. And this is where the most work has to happen. And you and others may recall that during the testimony, I tried to stress the importance of being aware about how our own political divisions and the work that we do ourselves as part of our own political campaigning to discredit opponents can be used as the kind of raw material for external influence operations. So any disinformation that is created by political parties to favour their own candidate in a domestic environment can also be used by a foreign opponent as a means of discrediting our whole democratic process. So it's the amplification of our own discord. And this is really the risk that we have today.
Russia expert Fiona Hill, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. She's been speaking with us about Russia's response to the coronavirus. Thank you very much.
Thank you.